Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Today I want to talk about courage because it's Memorial Day, but before I talk about courage, I want to talk about fear, all right? Because we seem to be living in a world that is consumed by fear. And I say that not just individuals afraid for their own safety, but entire countries are getting caught up in the fear of things like terrorism and weapons of mass destruction and economic collapse and global warming and all sorts of stuff. Now, on a personal level, we all have our own personal fears. Some people fear for their lives. Fortunately, in this country, we don't have to do that very much. We fear for our money. We fear for our children. We fear for our freedom. The networks, the internet, the airwaves are completely filled with talk about fear, death, danger, destruction, you know, film at 11, after this word from Toys R Us or something kind of thing. And the unspoken assumption is, if you're not afraid, you probably aren't paying attention. Because they say, whoever they are, anybody with any sense has to be worried about all the terrible things that are happening right now and all the terrible things that might happen tomorrow. But even so, okay, people who have a mindset like we foster here in this place, all right, people with any sense also realize that living in fear is not a healthy, productive, or enjoyable way to live. Because aside from roller coasters and the occasional horror movie, like the new Alien movie that's coming out, most of us do not like being scared, all right? Anybody here love being a scared? No, of course we don't, all right? In fact, we do everything, we try everything we can think of to either avoid being afraid or to ignore it. We run, we hide, we attack, we eat, we drink, we do drugs, we shop. We may even pray and meditate as a last resort sometimes, because we recognize that when fear dominates our thoughts, we are not in control, right? We feel like the fear is controlling us, which is not far from the truth. Now, a great philosopher and pacifist by the name of Bertrand Russell, many of you are familiar with him in the middle 1900s, he once said, and this is very relevant today, he said, "Neither a person, a crowd, or a nation can be trusted to act humanely or to think sanely under the influence of a great fear." Under the influence. That's very, very perceptive, and I think he's right. Because fear makes us think in a very narrow way. Fear causes us to react, to avoid, to try and protect ourselves, to do whatever we feel is necessary to ensure our safety. In other words, everything we end up doing whenever we're afraid is done in complete response to the thing we fear. And it's hard for anything else to enter the picture. Now, the problem is, it's that very narrow focus just on the thing that we're afraid of that prevents us from seeing something better, from seeing a better way to respond, or from seeing the fear, the thing that we fear, for what it actually is, which someone once described as darkness trying to impersonate light, which I thought was a great phrase. And that's really too bad, because as intelligent, enlightened, or at least semi-enlightened spiritual beings, which we're all trying to be, it is our ability to see things clearly, our ability to be aware of what is really going on below the things that we see, and our ability to draw upon our inner wisdom and our inner strength and our faith in a universe that supports us, that allows us to use this power within us in the best way possible. In other words, it is our ability to consciously choose to focus on the basic goodness of life that gives us the ability to transcend any circumstances around us and to know that our safety and our security and our health and our wholeness and our prosperity and all those other things are still our spiritual birthright, and they can never be taken away from us by anyone. Now, we can give them away, and a lot of people do, but they can never be taken away. Now, Dr. Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of this teaching, if you're here for the first time, in what we call our textbook, The Science of Mind text, he writes this. I love this. It's near the beginning. It's in that first section, that introductory part. He said, "Fear is the great enemy of mankind. Fear is a belief in limitation, a denial that God is the center and source of all good. And then he says, to overcome fear is the greatest adventure of the mind of man. The greatest adventure of the mind of man. And what he means is, fear is not just a natural physical and emotional response to an external danger, like fight or flight. It is also a mental and a spiritual response taking place in our consciousness based on an incorrect belief that life is dangerous and no matter how hard we try, bad things are going to still happen to us if we aren't really, really careful. Now, unfortunately, if that is what we believe about life, then that's how we're going to live our life, as if we're being squeezed into a smaller and smaller box. And the things we're being squeezed by are our fears, all right? Which is really very sad because that's not the truth about us at all. Now, one thing that makes it very confusing is that this thing we call fear that causes us so much stress and pain and confusion, get this, it is an outer illusion, but an inner reality. You get what that means? Fear is an outer illusion based on effect, but an inner reality, all right? It's not something forced upon us from out there. It arises from within our consciousness. That's where it's born. That's where it lives. And that's where it grows. That's where it grows. Now, it's amazing to me how many people I come in contact, some even in this teaching, but a lot of them not, who are walking around living what appears to me to be a very nice, safe, secure life. The people like Lee was talking about in this country, where we live so much better than so many people in the rest of the world, but they still have a constant fear that something terrible is going to happen. Even though everything's going beautifully in their life, they still have that fear, all right? I mean, there they are. They've got all the things they want, but they are still, now it may not show up as being afraid, but they're still negative, they're still angry, they're unhappy most of the time. You know, the kind of people who can't wait to call you up and tell you about the latest bad thing that happened to them or the latest disaster in the news? I have a person like that. It's called my mother. All right. My mother, I can't tell you how many phone calls I've gotten through the year where my mother will call and she'd say, well, guess who died? First statement, you know, I mean, it's part of their nature when they get into that. Not only that, the worse things get, the more excited they get because that proves that they're right. All right. That's kind of the mentality that they go through. What they haven't figured out yet is that it is their belief in fear more than any actual problem that they have to deal with, that is keeping them from enjoying life at the level that they could. Now, the reason I say this is because, if you think about it, the overwhelming majority of things that we are afraid of never happen. They never, ever happen. That is, most of the time, well, think of it this way. Most of the time, we're afraid, most people are afraid of one of two things. Either we're afraid that something unpleasant from our past is going to happen again, or we're afraid that something we either heard about or concocted in our own mind is going to happen to us in the future. So fear is either based in the past or based in the future. In either case, the main thing that our fear does is it distracts us and it drains our energy. And our energy is the powerful, creative, spiritual energy power that we have. But even more important, from a metaphysical perspective, which means over and above the physical perspective, it also makes us more likely that we will draw negative experiences into our life. I know a lot of you were raised with the Bible. Remember that saying, lo, the thing they fear has come upon them? All right, that's what we're talking about. Or as Dr. Holmes used to say, where mind flows, energy goes. So if your mind is flowing with fearful thoughts, the energy is going to create more to be afraid of, all right? So let me expand on this just a little bit. This teaching tells us that whatever occupies our mind on a regular basis is what we create and that we are very powerful, creative beings. That's why becoming obsessed with fear, even if it's fear of something that wouldn't normally happen, ends up attracting more to us. And here's the sequence. So you can recognize it when it starts. Here's the way the creative process works for us in terms of this. Fear, especially that constant, low-grade, long-term fear that the daily news services feed upon every time you listen to it and look at some of these things, it takes roots in our thoughts and it fills our consciousness. That's how it starts. Now, It doesn't do it because it's powerful, because fear has no power of its own. It does it because we allow it. That's it, all right? And we allow it by not rejecting it. We allow it by not rejecting it. That's important to understand. You see, we may not be able to control what comes into our mind, but we can certainly control what stays there. That's where the power comes from, all right? So if we don't reject the fear as a thing, it will stay. And when it stays, once it takes root here, that's when our subjective mind gets involved, all right? And our subjective mind is the mind that we share with everyone. It's what they call the mind of God. It's the creative power where all ideas and all thoughts come from. And our subjective mind, okay, can only create more of whatever we put into it. It is not discerning. It doesn't say that's a bad thing to think about. I'm not going to take it. It takes whatever we give it. All right? And it is fed by the power of our emotions. And fear is a very powerful emotion, all right? So fear in, stronger fear out. More fear back in, more fear back out. That's the kind of cycle we get into. And those fearful experiences that we visualize and attract and create only end up frightening us more. It's a cycle that's very easy to get caught up in and very hard to break out of, especially if everybody around you is thinking the same way. That's why all this stuff going on in the Middle East, unlike some people in this teaching, I read the news virtually every morning from three or four different sources, BBC International, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I try to get a very strong perspective, but that's why all this stuff that's going on around the world appears to be spreading. That's why it appears to be getting closer and closer and crossing all the boundaries. It's because there is so much fear everywhere at every level, all right, that the politicians and the news media are feeding on it. And that fear is not in the air, it's not in the water, it's not in the soil. It's in our beliefs. It's in our beliefs. Both sides, or two sides, or three sides, or always seem to be a bunch of sides, are afraid that the other side wants to destroy them. So all this activity that we're seeing is just a cycle of fear and ignorance being recycled by people who really don't understand how powerful we are at the level of conscious creation. So they're just responding the only way they know how, which is why we seem to be creating more of the same things. Because, you know, the old bumper sticker, if you always think what you've always thought, you'll always get what you've always got. Okay, that's very, very true. Now, I believe part of our problem is nobody wants to admit that they're afraid. Everybody puts on this false sense of bravado. Nobody wants to admit it because admitting you're afraid is weakness. We think of it as weakness. But if we actually did admit it, maybe we could talk about it and reach some sort of an intelligent solution. All right? And maybe the problem is not that we don't understand. The problem is that we don't understand what fear is, so we may not know when we're afraid. We may not know that we're afraid. You see, fear doesn't always show up in the same way. Sometimes it shows up as anger or self-righteousness, and that's usually dealing with religion, politics, or patriotism. All that kind of stuff that looks so blah, blah, blah is simply fear disguised as self-righteousness. Sometimes it shows up as justice, as retribution, I'm just getting even for what they did to me. Now, this is true on the international level, as we see, just look at the news, but it's also true with any conflict in our life, whether we're talking about a divorce, a business conflict, a family problem, anything like that. Whenever we're afraid, we respond in a variety of ways. We attack, we blame, we criticize, we stop communicating. Right? When we're afraid, we stop communicating. We start telling lies about ourselves and lies about each other, which gives rise to suspicion and anger and resentment and all sorts of other stuff. And when we get that far along, it's hard for us to remember that we are all spiritual beings first. It's very difficult. That gets pushed off to the side because then we're in such pain that we feel like we have to blame someone, whether it's the other person or whatever, for all of our suffering. And when that momentum builds up, it's hard to redirect it in a way that heals rather than separates. Now, Einstein, who was a pacifist and a pretty smart guy, he once said, I love this, he said, it is impossible for a nation to simultaneously prepare for war and move towards peace. You can't, and Dr. King said several things very, very similar. That's the difficulty we encounter when we try to face our fears. All right? So here's the big question. If you try to have a rational discussion with someone about this, how should we respond to the real dangers that we see in life? And there are dangers in life. Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, tell you otherwise. All right? Life is not safe. Life is good, but it's not always safe. How can we respond without amplifying the fear that tries to overwhelm us? How can we not join in the fear party that everybody else is throwing for themselves, all right? How can we look at something difficult or challenging in the world, something that might present a real threat, and turn a potentially devastating problem into a positive growth experience, all right? The answer is, and there has to be an answer because we live in an intelligent universe, is because the nature of life is to grow and evolve. So the problem must not be in how we're looking at the problems that we're dealing with. The problem must be how we're looking at the nature of fear itself. That's what we have to recognize. All right. There was a woman who's in this movement, been in for a while. Her name is Mary Shelton, and she wrote a book a number of years ago called Guidance from the Darkness. Very, very good book. And she said this. I love this. She said that fear is a powerful and perfectly normal human experience that either paralyzes us or motivates us into action. Fear does one or two things. It either paralyzes us or it motivates us into action. Now, if we allow it to paralyze us, everything stops. Everything stops, okay? That's when we crawl into a shell and we pull our blanket over us and we just sit there and wait for it to go away. Some people live that way for years. Live that way for years, all right? Waiting for a signal that the coast is clear. Sweetheart, the coast will never be clear. I promise, okay? Some people do that, which is not the best way to experience our spiritual magnificence, which is what we're supposed to do. But during those other times, when fear motivates us to do something, to take action, then we can do something and we have a choice. We can do something positive, or we can do something negative. Pretty simple, right? I like the way she broke that down. When we act negatively, we usually attack or strike back, which just escalates the conflict. But those few times, and hopefully there'll be more and more, those few times that we make a conscious, intelligent, deliberate decision to act positively, even if we're afraid, then we allow ourselves to transcend, to look at things from a higher perspective, okay? We can start to look for a win-win solution or a win-win-win-win-win-win solution, whatever it happens to be, where the end result of resolving the disagreement raises us all to the higher level. You know, besides what we believe in this teaching, and there are a lot of other teachings that believe the same aspect, like Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, even Christianity, tells us that when we try to either avoid fear or fight it, it becomes more powerful. The more we fight it, the more powerful it gets, all right? Because that's all we focus on. If all we're focusing on is fighting it, we give it more and more attention. That's why attacking the people or the things we fear, whether it's with words or bombs or social media, which is being used a lot, makes us feel more afraid instead of less. More afraid instead of less, okay? Because in the back of our mind, we're always going to be worried about running into a problem that we can't handle. That's why admitting and facing our fear and paying attention to what it's telling us has the effect of peeling away more and more of the armor that we all wear. And you know what I mean by the armor? Everybody clear? You know, the armor we wear to protect ourselves that we started designing when we were 3, 4, 5 years old, and we keep trading it in for a bigger size, and it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. The armor that we wear to keep people out also locks us in. It also locks us in. It keeps us from learning how to connect with other people. That's something we all have the ability to do. We just need to do it. We just need to do it. Now, if you go out and talk to some of your friends about this, some of them may say you're being naive. Haven't you seen the paper? They may say you're being crazy or foolish. You know, how can we be safe if we don't start fighting these people, whatever it is? People will tell you that violence is a part of human nature. A lot of people will tell you that. And if you look at the world through their eyes over the history of the last 10,000 years, you can sort of understand why they feel that way, all right? But if we consciously choose, which is the power we have, to look at the world from a spiritual perspective. That's what we're here learning to do. From a balanced, harmonious, life-affirming perspective, it doesn't sound very naive at all to think this way, all right? Because this feeling we call fear isn't telling us it's something wrong. There's something wrong. It's telling us that something needs to change. That something needs to change. And a lot of people don't like change, even if it's change for the better. They like the old way of doing things. But in a universe that's constantly growing and evolving, there eventually comes a point where the old way of doing things doesn't work anymore. And we may very well be at that point in the world today. That may be the point where we are discovering that we need to either change or die. And nature doesn't care. Nature doesn't care. If we disappear from the planet tomorrow, nature's going to be just fine, and she'll grow a substitute at some point, whatever it happens to be. Okay? That's why the level of fear is so high in the world today. But it also means that this time in history that seems so frightening may actually be the opportunity we have to raise the whole human race to a higher level. That may be. Can you read the news and think that way instead of worrying about what might happen? Now, whatever solutions we come up with will no doubt require us to function at a higher level, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all of these, because we're not going to discover these solutions, these transcendent answers, through logic, discussion, or debate. We're not. Now, we may have to work out the details using logic, discussion, debate, compromise, communication, all those things, but we are going to have to transcend that to rediscover and to embrace the courage necessary to move to that level. Because it takes courage not to transcend fear, but to move past it and to leave it behind. Dr. Holmes tells us that every question contains the seeds of its own answer, which means the courage we need to do the things we need to do can always be found within the fear that surrounds us. You know, most of you probably know where the word courage comes from. It comes from the French word cœur, which means heart, right? Okay? It may be our mind that allows us to see and understand what's going on, but it is our heart that gives us the strength to face the fear and move through it. Because the only way out of our fear is through our fear. That's what many people have said in many of the great sacred texts. You see, whenever we decide to change at the heart level how we look at the world and the people in it, it is amazing how the entire direction of our life changes in an instant, in an absolute instant. I mean, the same dangers, the same challenges may exist, but we change. We change, okay? We may even still be afraid, but we now have the ability to see clearly and move on because fear no longer controls us. It no longer controls us, okay? We find that we can walk through the darkness, you know, walk through the storm, as Patrick sang so beautifully. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but it's all okay. We can walk through it, still feeling afraid, knowing that things are going to be all right, because we remember that there is a power greater than us that is at hand, giving us all the support we need, all the support we need. Now, there's a popular misconception that people who are truly courageous, like the Medal of Honor winners that we hear about from all the different wars, all these kind of people, don't feel fear. That's a misconception because it's not true at all. If you watch any of their interviews, they will tell you that they were absolutely petrified. The difference is they could see the fear for what it is. They could see the fear for what it is. They understand it. And they know that the spiritual pain of being held hostage by their fear is just as bad, if not worse, as anything that can happen, any physical pain they may experience by going ahead and doing what they're doing. You may not have read the news yet this morning, there was an incident in Portland, Oregon. Anybody read about that? It was on the train and, very lovely city out there, and there were two young women, two teenagers, got on the train, and they were Muslim. One of them was wearing a hijab, and they were just getting on the train, and a gentleman started ranting at them, anti-Muslim stuff, and three gentlemen, unknown to each other, young, old, a 50-year-old, a recent college graduate, and another one, went up to this man to try to stop him, and he killed two of them. And the third is in the hospital in condition, and he was taken by the police. I mean, a tragic incident all the way around. But these three individuals, or the young men who were on the train in France last year, remember who the guy came on? Well, you know, there are all sorts of incidences like this. It doesn't have to be military, all right? We're talking about people who see something clearly, they know that there is something greater, and they step in, even though their heart's pounding, and they're absolutely petrified. They realize that hiding under their seat is not going to help. So they find the courage within the fear, and it doesn't replace the fear. It just shows a light on the fear and shows it for what it really is. All right? So when we do this, when we start to look at life that way, when we don't worry about whether we're afraid or not, we just think about the truth that we know, we can find that the object of our fear is never anything out there. It's always something in here. It's a shadow that we're projecting into our life. Dr. Raymond Charles Barker used to call it a nothing trying to be something, which is really a great statement. And every time we face it and move through it, we are less and less likely to allow anything like it to stand in our way again. That is how we grow. That's how we grow into who and what we are meant to become. And what we are meant to become is an entire race of whole, complete, and perfect spiritual beings living a life of joy, health, prosperity, and love. And that's what we all want, okay? That's what we all deserve just by nature of being here. And personally, I think this weekend, Memorial Weekend, would be a great time for us to start. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Take a breath. Let's just take a moment. Close your eyes if you choose. Take the ideas. I know the things I say bring up ideas in your mind. Take those that serve you. Set aside the others for later. And let's know this. Life is where we are. It has no inherent purpose except to grow and expand. This universe, this world, is truly the mind of God, constantly creating all things new out of itself, growing and expanding in awareness and consciousness and intelligence and all those amazing things in so many ways through nature, but in our life, through us. Each and every one of us has a powerful mind, a powerful consciousness that we control. We have the ability, the great spiritual ability, to make choices in our life from a virtually infinite variety of opportunities. But as we keep ourselves grounded firmly in love of ourselves, love of others, love of life, honoring all that we have been given, we begin to see the world differently, and as we see it differently, we see people differently, we see life differently, and we begin to see it in a greater way. We rise above the petty, demeaning, angry, fearful thoughts that so many people wallow in. We rise above it, we see it for what it is, we do not criticize it or condemn it. We simply smile with compassion and forgiveness, recognizing that those who live at that level are only there because they choose to be. No one deserves to be living in fear or darkness. We all deserve to live at the highest level that life offers us. But we have to choose that. We have to choose that. So as we begin to look at other people, we look in their eyes. We see their soul, their spirit. We see God looking back at us from their eyes. We see children laughing and playing and try to be more like them. We see people and read about people doing courageous, wonderful, amazing, powerful, exciting things. And we recognize that we can do that too. We can learn by their example, and we can gain by their experience. We also look at those who live in fear and anger and hatred, and that also teaches us a lesson. It teaches us that we are better than that. Even they are better than that. And as we do this, we begin to support each other. We support ourselves with wonder at all the beauty in this world. We support ourselves with an awareness that there's plenty of food, there's plenty of everything for everyone. And we think thoughts of love, peace, joy, all these things that we wish for everyone. As we do this, we have a feeling inside of us that we may call courage or respect or honor, but we have it for everyone and for ourselves. This is the power we have to bring these things not into the world because they're always here, but to give these things an avenue to come into the world and to spread from us to those around us, to our neighborhood, our city, our state, our country, our planet. Knowing this, we give thanks. We give thanks for the opportunity to share these ideas with others. We give thanks for the opportunity to love life every moment of every day. Knowing this, we release these beliefs into consciousness, knowing that they are powerful and creative, that our thoughts are creating and creating an experience that is like these thoughts. This is our truth. We accept it and we release it into consciousness, letting it be so. Join me in saying, and so it is.